Good day, everyone. My name is Daniel, and I'm here to share some of my ideas, thoughts, and I'm gonna give also some facts about our universe. Today, in this episode, I wanted to approach the stars. Why stars? Well, stars is, let's say, a major, one of the big players in the universe, and without stars, most likely nothing else would exist, that including us, Earth, and we as living beings. So what is a star? Star is an astronomical object consisting of plasma, which is held together by its own gravity. This is the definition of a star. Near a star to Earth, to our planet, as we all know it, is our sun. Our sun is a star, is mostly primarily formed out of hydrogen. Why hydrogen? Because hydrogen is the most basic element in the universe, and hydrogen combine create other heavier elements. It's hydrogen 2, it's helium, and after helium it starting to become even heavier than that. After hydrogen and helium all the elements are considered heavy. So what is a unit of measure of the stars? A star is usually measured by its nominal solar luminosity and nominal solar radius. Usually we measure the stars by the solar mass. Why do we say solar mass? Because solar mass, one solar mass is equivalent to a solar to the mass of our sun. So that's why we call solar mass. So when you hear talking about stars like five solar masses, that means it's five times bigger than our sun, our star. How the star form? Well, stars condense from region of space of higher matter density, and in this region, known as molecular clouds, mostly of hydrogen, form from with the beginning with a gravitational instability within a molecular cloud. Well, caused by a region of higher density, often triggered by compression of clouds by radiation from massive stars. This is, let's say, the definition of how a star come to life. We can see stars which are very low mass, under 0.5 mass, low mass star including the sun between 0.5 mass and up to 2.5 the solar mass, intermediate mass stars between 2.5 mass and 10 mass solar mass of our sun, and massive stars which have a minimum mass of 10 suns of from our solar system, our sun. If it has more than 10, the mass of more than 10 suns, that means is a massive star. Stars usually 90% of their existence they are fusing hydrogen into heliums in very high temperature and high pressure reaction in the core region. Such stars are said to be the main sequence and are called dwarf stars. Starting at zero age main sequence, the proportion of helium in a star core would steadily increase. The rate of nuclear fusion at the core will slowly increase, and as will the star temperature and luminosity. The sun, our sun, for example, is estimated to have a luminosity by about 40% since it reached the main sequence, which is 4.5 billion years ago. So it's 40% much brighter today than it was when it started. Every star generates a solar wind of particle. Also, every star has its own gravity. Also, every star loses its mass. And this means, let's do an example. Our sun usually loses every year 0.01 of its total mass. However, very massive star can lose a lot more mass, because if it's more massive, it's gonna burn more fuel. It's, let's say, if you have a small fire, it's gonna just burn few woods. If you put a lot of woods, well, it's gonna burn faster and much more wood. So it's the same with star. It's just gonna, but if it has a lot of fuel and the star is really massive, the because of the gravity, it's just gonna is just gonna use much more fuel. That means it's gonna create much more heavier elements, heavier than hydrogen and helium. So, as we said, our star, closest star to us, to the Earth, is our sun. Our sun, as I said before, it's with us, at least it could be before us, 4.56 billion years ago was born, by our estimation. So, if we count that, it's almost was born, let's say, two-thirds after the universe come to life. So that means in this area, in our solar system, before, like I said in my first video, was a different star. Otherwise, we could not be alive because of the all the heavy elements we have on Earth. And, you know, I'm talking about iron, gold, bronze, a lot of heavy elements. These were heavy elements was born in different star before our sun. So we had a different star before which create all these elements. And after this, our star was born and then our planet. And if you fast forward, we just get to our lifetimes, which is roughly a couple thousand years we are, our generation is on Earth. Outside our sun, there are a lot of other stars in our night sky. One closest to us is Proxima Centauri. As you know, Proxima Centauri, it's most of the people might have heard of it. It's 4.5 million. Proxima Centauri, it's 4.2 light years away from the sun. And is our closest neighbor. Proxima Centauri is a red dwarf with a mass about 12% of the sun mass. So that means it's smaller than our Earth. Now, what we know about the furthest star from us? Well, the furthest star from us was discovered a couple years ago, and it's almost 9 billion light years away, and is in a very far away galaxy, and it was discovered by Hubble between 2011 and 2016. So it's almost at the time when our universe start to really pick up the pace. Now, we know our closest star to us, which is the sun. We know the our second close to us star, which is Proxima Centauri. And we know a star which is at least 9 billion light years away from us. Now, we should discuss age, because I feel this is an important topic, age of the stars. And why I'm going to discuss age of the stars? Because this last decade, from 2013, a star was discovered, which is in our Milky Way, in the constellation of Libra. And this star was thought first to be older than our universe. So, was a lot of discussion about it. And also, how can a star be older than the age of the universe? First time when this star was discovered, the age of it was estimated to be 16 billion years old. And our universe is only 13.7 billion years old. So, is a big discrepancy between the age of the star and the age of our universe. After a couple more researches, the name of the star, the name is Metalusa, and the exactly name is HD140283. This star, after another review in 2016, was thought to be between 14.2 light billion years old, yes, 14.2, and with a plus or minus 700 or 800 million years. And after they set this date, it's kind of, if you take away from 14.2 billion years, you take away 700, well, you get close to 13.6. Our universe is 13.7.8 billion years ago. But what is very intriguing about this star, and remember, this star is in our Milky Way, in our galaxy, because it's too close to the birth of the universe. And how a star can be this old? Because we usually known a star after roughly 7-8 million years old, either is gonna explode, either is gonna create a white dwarf, or is just gonna leave behind a black hole. So, to my opinion, this is a very intriguing star, and I think they should do more research in it, because they can still find out much more about this. And when I say much more, I mean about the age of the universe and the reality. Because remember, we only know the universe is 13.8 billion years ago because this is the furthest the light we saw through the Hubble. But if something else is beyond that, maybe the light just didn't have enough time to get to us. So maybe there are other space objects beyond the 13.8 billion years mark, which we can see, because simply the light didn't have enough time to travel. Remember, the light travels in a year a whole lot of distance, and we call the distance in our space light years away, because our unit of measure is a one light year, and one light year, this is the distance which light travel in a year. And remember, the distance of light per second is 300,000 kilometers per second. So in 1 second, one photon of light travel 300,000 kilometers, and in a year, the light travels 9.7 trillion kilometers, or 6 trillion miles in a year, a light travel. So imagine, this is just 1 year, and imagine multiplier that with 13.7 billion years. So that's a very, very long distance. I'm not even gonna try to get you around that distance, because it's just enormous, gigantous. It's Godzilla. It's just, that number is just too big for us to get the head around. We're just gonna keep it simple. Why I say that star is very interesting? Because that star can prove there was something else before our universe, or actually our universe not just start with a big bang, maybe it was something else before. How can a universe start with a big bang? Well, they did a lot of theories and a lot of let's say papers on it, but in my opinion it's not that simple. If you spark something, that means something has to be before it from where to spark. It's the same with a star. So a star is born from a space where is a lot of gas, hydrogen mainly. So how that gas formed to become a star? They, like I said before, they say through gravity or influence from different stars or so on, so on. But in my opinion, the answer is not that simple, because you cannot just straight away fusion hydrogen and then, you know, get a nice big round mass which of plasma which we can call star. It's not that easy. And here I go in my description of what a star is, and take it with a grain of salt. This is my opinion, and purely my opinion, so it's not about a fact or a proven fact. It's just what I can understand and what it's my gathering after all the data I've got about the stars. Remember when I said the stars after die can leave behind also a black hole or a white dwarf, which is a very dense object, which they say in a spoon. Yeah, you can, if you take a spoon of that white dwarf, is as heavy as our planet. So that's a lot. And why do I say this? Imagine this: a star die and left behind a black hole, creates a black hole, but we don't know what a black hole is. But let me ask you this: what if the black hole was there the whole time? The black hole actually created the star, and after the star, all the gas was consumed around it and it could not feed it anymore, the black hole just remained behind and it just keep on going. I'm gonna have a different episode about black hole, but it's gonna be a lot of discuss about this one. But now I'm just gonna discuss about stars and how it's created. And also, as I said, a white dwarf, a very dense object. So that very dense object, it's collapsed to its core. But remember something: what if the white dwarf hides something in its core? And what if this something is actually a black hole? But it's not a black hole anymore, because it's hidden by the mass of the star, which collapses in such a dense manner, and the black hole cannot feed itself. So it's basically hidden in the middle of the star, and it can't feed with the hydrogen, helium of heavy elements, because it simply all the matter around collapses, and it's like create an iron core, but in the middle is just something which cannot fit anymore. How do I say? It's like an egg. You know, inside the egg, everything is soft, but outside it's hard. And if you are inside the egg, yeah, you're only gonna see the hard edges. And if the egg is dense enough, the edges, well, you cannot break those edges. So this is what I'm proposing, that actually the black holes, which I'm gonna get a definition of the black hole down in the future, actually create our stars and also remain after our star dies. No matter if our star explodes and the black hole remains behind, or our star collapses in a white dwarf, which also can hide inside of it a black hole. So this is a different concept from today, and a lot of people could say I'm crazy, or they could say there is no science behind it. But if you think about it, this makes a lot of sense, because you can create stars just like, you know, from nothing. It has always something in the core. And in my opinion, what we fail to observe now with the black holes we see, the problem is with this black hole, their mass is just too big. And if the mass is too big, it's gonna take all the light away around it. So we're not gonna have any energy on or radiation from it. But if the black hole, the singular object, which it's hard to say black hole, but it's something else in my opinion. It's just a bridge, but I'm not gonna say now. I'm not gonna go in the definition of the black hole. But this object in the middle just collects matter around it, feeds on it. After it's finished, either the matter just simply explodes and creates heavier elements, which we have in us and we are born in it, or simply just remain there captive in a white dwarf. This is, in my opinion, the best definition for a star. Because, remember, our star also has a very big gravitational field. And this gravitational field is not just by matter. Our Earth also has a gravitational field. And what gives gravitational field to our Earth? Well, our core is melted. It has iron around it, and then inside is just melted. And all this create magnetic field and also gravity. Gravity, we have gravity, and we are also around our sun. We are in its field, in its gravitational field. Now, some people think I'm crazy. Some people could think this is the stupidest idea they've seen. But I think we can see this in a larger scale. Just look at our galaxies and all the galaxies we find in our universe. Each of them has in their core a black hole. So everything surrounds that very dense objects, which is called a black hole. So if it's in a bigger scale, if it's looking like that, why should not look in a smaller scale, like in our stars? It's just basics, in my opinion. Imagine our black hole from the center of Milky Way is holding our solar system is small, but billions and billions of stars together plus a lot of hydrogen clouds and a lot of planets and aliens and a lot of different things. So this could also be the definition of a star, in my opinion. So the star not just leave behind the black hole after it is dead, also the black hole was there before and formed the star in the beginning, in the first place. And I want so much to go in the definition of the universe and the formation, because, but I just want to take it slowly, because I have a lot of topics to talk about and a lot of maybe crazy things to say about it. But in my opinion, some might become true in the future. Not now, but in the near future, maybe when we're gonna send the most powerful telescope in the sky. And I'm talking about James Webb, which should deploy next month. This is November 2021, so should deploy next month in December. So I'm very curious about that, what a bigger telescope can do. And I don't know why we didn't send a bigger telescope. Why should it take 30 years to take a bigger telescope to space? It's crazy. It's like we don't want to find answers. But anyway, this is different story, different topic. So in my understanding, everything in our universe, it's very tied up to the black hole, the definition of black hole, that singular object, which is a bridge. And I'm not gonna say now what kind of bridge, because we need to discuss about a lot more. But so many things we hit with the black holes, everything we say, galaxies, they are around the black hole. Formations, when the black hole hits, black holes get together and form a bigger galaxy. But also the black hole combines, so creates a bigger black hole. So black hole, in my opinion, also was at the birth of our universe. And I'm gonna go on that, but not now. So, in my opinion, remember, I only call black hole because this is the definition, but actually that's a bridge. And you'll see why I think it's a bridge. And because of this, the matter come to light, and also it forms stars, form planets, form intelligent life, and not so intelligent maybe in my case. And we just need to try to find out these bigger mysteries, because if we solve that singularity, the black hole, then maybe in the future we can have easy way to transport in space, so we can travel much further distance, yeah, in a shorter time period. So in our lifetime we can go and visit different stars. But this is also on our, let's say, our fast pace to try to break gravity. Because gravity, the definition of gravity is playing a really important role as well in forming these black holes, and also in travel. But we're gonna discuss this when I'm gonna try to explain some of my fictional way of traveling in the universe and some of the real ways today which you can travel in the universe. But for today I just want to cover the stars, because we see a lot of stars every time at night time when I go outside. And maybe tonight I can get out my telescope if it's clear sky and not too much pollution, and I see a lot of tiny dots, light dots on our sky, and I'm amazed by this. so many stars and so many potential in our sky and in our universe. And I think we as human, we need to evolve and try to break this, like I said, break gravity and the definition of the black hole, so we can travel further away and we should not be so dependable on our planet. Because as soon as we're gonna find different way of transport in the universe, or at least in our solar system, and we can access bigger, let's say, how should I call it? I'm gonna call it bigger elements. I'm just gonna say, like I said in the last episode, like asteroids or different planets, which more elements, which we can build our ships, our life, our homes, and we can also build a better society. But this is only a dream at the moment, not just for me, but for a lot of people. And we are just behind with the technology, especially in the transport area. We need faster way of traveling. And to reach our closest star, Proxima Centauri, we definitely need a lot faster ways of travel, even close to the light, light speed, which is a very, very fast way of traveling. But in my opinion, is not enough, not even close to visit everything, like to go to a different galaxy or to visit, let's say, parts of our universe. And there we're gonna have to use a different kind of travel, which I'm gonna get to. But at the moment, I think we should be just grateful we have our sun, which he just given us free energy, keeping us alive and also safe from other objects in the sky. So as I said today, this is my understanding of the stars, the big, let's say, reveal from my side. So the star was formed by a black hole, in my opinion, and also the black hole remains behind it, even if it's turning to a white dwarf. Because remember, that object is so dense, then the black hole in the middle can't feed anymore, is just simply closed. So the black hole is closed, cannot feed anymore, it's cut off from its food. And I'm just gonna try next to try to cover bigger scales. I'm gonna go into galaxies, and then I'm gonna try to, in my opinion, how the universe form, or even if he's just one universe, or maybe it was never a universe at all. But we're gonna get into this. So if you want to hear these crazy ideas, I'm just happy if you listen to it. And of course, if you have any comments of or let's say any thoughts about this, I'm gonna try to do a Facebook page with my name, my name of the name of the podcast, and there you can comment and leave your impression and maybe some ideas which also can be better than mine. And remember what I said in this episode, it's only from my head, is nothing, it's nothing behind it, no mathematical proof. Because, as I said in the previous episode, I'm not a math teacher, and I like math, but I'm not that good so I can prove myself. This is just my understanding of our universe, the universe we're living on. And I hope maybe some of my ideas in the future can be, you never know, just proven, or actually can be discovered. But it's just gonna be my great joy I discussed this before. This let's say these crazy ideas. So let's see what the future give us back, and maybe in a couple years with the new telescope in the sky, James Webb, we're gonna have a lot more power to see through the even the core of our galaxy, and maybe we can gather more data, and we can, the scientists can prove more and more to their theories. And this, remember, this is always a good thing for us, because then we can expand no matter what. We just need this, so as I said before, we just need to move on. Our planet soon is not gonna be sustainable for all these people. We are just too much. And remember, we are not the only living thing which lives on Earth. There are a lot of other life forms, so we need to keep that in mind as well. So the best way for us is to understand our universe, understand our stars, the formation, understand our galaxy, and maybe how the universe form, and to discuss with aliens, I'm hitting this again, and to expand. This is what I really want. I want us to expand, but not to expand as individual. I want to expand us as a race, the human race, to expand, not just the individual. And we need to work a lot on that. So if you had a chance of hearing this podcast, I thought you, I thank you for listening so far and this far, and thank you for calling me crazy or not. And if you still want to hear more crazy ideas about our universe, I'm gonna try to do more and more episodes. Thank you very much, and enjoy your time as long as we have.